Okay. We left off yesterday discussing Tosis over here in Gimel Mabez, who was commenting on why is it that it was Rabbi Yosef who provided the Targum for the Pasuk and Sefer Ovadia. Of all the Amorim, it happened to be Rabbi Yosef. So Tosis explains it's because he was a Baki in Targum. However, he mentions those who suggested that it's perhaps because all of Rabbi Yosef was not allowed to recite Psukim Baal Peh, because we have a rule in the Gemara Masechtas Temura that Dvarim Shebechsav have to remain Bechsav, Torah Shebechsav has to remain Bechsav, Torah Shebaal Peh can be recited, has to be recited Baal Peh. We asked, Taisus asked Masechtas Temura, how do we recite Psukim all the time Baal Peh? So Taisus says, no, when it's to be Moitzi others or to teach others, that's when one is not supposed to recite it orally, it should remain a written text. And therefore, Tosis quotes those who suggested that since Rav Yosef was blind, he was not able to read it from a text, so therefore he was not accustomed to reciting psukim. It would be a violation of Dvarim Shebechsav, Iyot HaRosha La'omim Al-Peh, you're not allowed to recite it orally, and therefore he was the one who recited the Targum. Tosis claims that that cannot be the pshat, because the Gemara there says in Masechtas Temura that when it's Eis Lasos La'Hashem, person is in the needs to save all of Torah, lest Torah be lost, we have the right to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, or a person would have the right to recite orally the Torah Shebechsav. That's what Tosis deduces from that Gemara. So therefore, Tosis argues here too with regards to Rav Yosef, Ein lecha eis lasos l'Hashem gadol mizeh, that in order for him to learn Torah entirely, he would have to recite it orally, and of course, that would be permitted in order to allow him to learn Torah. Because one does not have to enforce these rules at the expense of sacrificing learning Torah in its entirety. And therefore, the Gemara used this as a principle, or for the basis, for the justification for how we have texts of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because if we're not going to write it down, then all of Torah Shebaal Peh will be lost. And Eis Lasos LaShem, it's a time to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heferus HaRasech, you have the right to violate certain principles, and this is one of them. So, but we asked, why is that? Why is one allowed to violate this principle in order to save other aspects of Torah, in order to save the learning of Torah? So the Urayim suggested, we saw yesterday, because it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. Okay. So one can violate it in order to save the Torah, which of course is seems to be of greater significance. Others suggested, perhaps it's because, Maritzchias happens to have like this, that it's because this is an example. We're actually dealing with an Isa D'Oraisa. This is one of those instances, rare instances, when Chazal violated, even proactively, not just staying home and not taking lulav and not blowing shofar, proactively violated one of the Isurim in the Torah in order to accomplish something great. The Rambam's imagery of a doctor who amputates one limb in order to save the person. This would be such an example. Our problem with that is that the Gemara never brings it up in that context. If this was an example, it would be a pretty obvious example. And yet the Gemara in its entire discussion never brings this as a manifestation of that principle. And the Arayim is a little bit difficult because it seems to be that we're dealing with the Din D'Oraisa. The Gemara darshens it from Sukkim and Parshas Kisisa. So therefore we concluded like the Tarsis Yishanim in Masechtas Yuma, who told us that this is a principle D'Oraisa, but it's a mitzvah min hamuvchar. And therefore, the Gemara said in Masechtas Yuma, if it's a Tircha de Tzibura, the Kohen Gadol, on the Avod of Yom Kippurim, he can violate it and recite the Parsha dealing with Yom Kippurim and Parsha's Pinchas Baal Peh, rather than roll the Sefer Torah, because otherwise it can be a great Tircha. And this is only a mitzvah min hamuchar to do it like this, to have the oral Torah be communicated orally and the written Torah be communicated in a written form. But it's not that it's prohibited to do otherwise. And therefore, because of Eis Lasos LaShem, Eferes Sarasecha, we have the right to violate these principles, these ideal forms of communicating the Torah, and to communicate in a different fashion. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained a little bit further, what is this mitzvah min hamuvchar, is that this is the ideal form of communicating the Torah. The Torah Shebaal Peh should be communicated Baal Peh. The Torah Shebechsav is supposed to be communicated Bechsav and remain in those forms. And to communicate in any other way is in violation of the mitzvah min hamuvchar. He said, that's why Tosis says the whole principle only applies when you're communicating Torah to others, because this is a halacha, or a preference, the ideal form of communicating the Torah from one generation to the next. Torah Shebaal Peh should be Baal Peh, Torah Shebechsav should be Bechsav. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik took this even one step further. And he said that it was for this reason, we'll begin over here, look at the Gemara Mekaymus. The Gemara says, Meseches Bava Metzia, Ravina v'Rav Ashi Seif Hara, that all Psak Halacha ended with the time of the Gemara. That's true. We have no more Piske Halacha anymore. Shaiwus and Chuvis after the Gemara. So Vilna Gaon explains in his commentary on Choshimish, what I'm here, Ois Beis, that even though the Rambam told us in Ilchas Mamrim, that when it comes to Dinim Doraisa, one generation has the right to disagree with the previous generation, even though they're not as great as that generation. By Dinim Darabonon, you have to be as great. Dinim Doraisa, every generation can argue. Yiftuch Bedara, Kishmul Bedara, we have to if we believe that the Halach is otherwise. However, the Vilna Gaon says, Da'al HaGemara Ein Rishus LaHaisif Eloi LeGroya. That you cannot disagree. And that's what the Gemara means, Ravina v'Rav Ashi Seif Hara. You're not allowed to disagree with the dinim of the Gemara. Even though within the Gemara, they could disagree with one another. The Kesef Mishnah says they employed certain, you know, Kabbalists they accepted, the Amorim didn't disagree with Tanoim, but they could have, and we found instances where some did, Rav Tanahu Poet. But when it comes to us disagreeing with the Gemara, no, that you cannot do. The Achrayim will disagree with Rishonim. That happens on rare occasion. We'll not go into so. But to disagree with the Gemara, that you cannot do. Why not? So Moshe Soloveitchik explained that it's because in the times of the Gemara, they learned in the proper fashion. The Torah was communicated accurately. The Torah Shebaal Peh was communicated Baal Peh. Torah Shebichsav was communicated Bichsav. But after the time of Ravina Rav Ashi was the end of the period of the Amoraim, the Torah now became, Torah Shebaal Peh became written down. Now it's no longer communicated in the ideal fashion. And therefore we're by definition, objectively, on a lower madrega than the period of the Gemara, and we have no right to disagree with them. They're considered to be Chachmei HaMasorah, which is the language of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, to a greater degree than we are, because they were learning it in its ideal form. And this teaches us a principle, which is Nogea to all of Psak Halacha, is that one cannot disagree with someone if you're not in the same league as them. You simply cannot come to, you know, a complete understanding of what they said to possibly disagree. And this could have application in our time too. You can only disagree with those people who are in your league. Someone asked yesterday after Shia, so then how do we know who's in what league? You're right, it's confusing. It's one of the problems that plagues our time. But just one perhaps clue. One clue might be. See, for those who are in the world of Psak Halacha, it's obvious who's in what league and who's not in what league. The problem is for people not in the world of Piskei Halacha, they don't really know that this guy cannot disagree with Rav Moshe. It's a joke, you know. That's like a comic book. That's Purim Torah. People don't really know. They see Rabbi of a shul, prominent shul, 500 members, and this guy's, you know, has a little shtibel on the Lower East Side called MTJ. Whoever heard of that place, you know. So how are you supposed to know that this guy with 1,000 member shul is not on the same madrega, even in the same breath as Rav Moshe Feinstein, who had a little yeshiva on the Lower East Side? How are you supposed to know one from the other? So perhaps one clue for those even who are not in the world of Piskei Halacha to follow is an important idea from this week's parasha. The pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Lech lecha me'aretz me'ravcha beis avicha, go travel to Eretz Israel," and then he promises, "Vavarecha v'agavah." Bless you, and I'll make your name great. So Rashi says that was a nes, because most of the times when people travel, their name diminishes. They're not as successful. In order to be successful, sounds like you have to stay in one place. If you travel, you're really going to take a hit. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu promised him, "No, don't worry. I got Lo Shemecha, I'll make you great nonetheless." So it sounds like from Rashi, first of all, that in order to be successful, a person should stay in one place. It's a famous vort from Rav Palm, that in Hallel on Sukkos, so we shake the lulav by Ana Hashem Hashiana, but not by Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Why is that? There's a real reason that's mentioned in the Gemara, but why is that? So Rav Palm suggested that perhaps it's because if a person is not successful where he is, he needs a Yeshua, so he has to shake. He has to go somewhere else. Ana Hashem Hashiana. So you got to go. Shino Makom Shino Mazal. He's not having Hatzlacha here. He needs a Yeshua. So move somewhere else. Try it over there. It might work. Fine. But if a person does not need a Yeshua, he wants to be successful, he wants to grow, he wants to accomplish things. So then Rav Palm said, don't shake, don't go from place to place. You run around to this guy, you run around to that guy, and to this experience, to that thing. No, you want to be successful? Ana Hashem Haslichana, stay in one place. Continue doing the same thing day after day after day. Consistency, then a person will have Hatzlacha. Stay in one place. Fine. So therefore, Avraham Avinu, if he wanted to be successful, should have stayed in one place. But Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, travel, don't worry, your name, you know, you're not going to be a successful. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't worry, I got Losh Amecha, I'll make you great, people will know about you, you'll be famous nonetheless. So the other Mefarshim ask, if you want to be successful, it's true, it might be you more would be more productive if you stayed in one place. But if you want to be famous, you got to go on tour. You got to go on tour. So what? Just the opposite of Rashi. Rashi told us, you want to be successful, stay in one place. Because Baruch Hu promised him, even though you're traveling, you'll still be successful. No, but he didn't tell him that. He said, Rashi said, if you travel from place to place, no one will know you. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu will bless you, even though you're traveling, people will still know you. Agad lo shemecha. First of all, Avram cares that people know who he is. And also, other rabbis, it's not true. If people, you travel from place to place, that's how you become famous. So what's going on here? So Meshech Chochma explains in Parashas Boy, following Yesod, Yesod go the one life, that there's two types of fame. A person could become famous for two reasons. Could become famous because he's flamboyant and he's charismatic and he does unusual things or says unusual things. And you can become famous pretty quickly, especially in our times. That's one kind of fame. Then there's another kind of fame, which of course is not the fame that Avraham Avinu was interested in, and it should not be the fame that we're interested in. But that superficial fame, you know, you can plug in all of the examples that perhaps come to mind. Then there's another kind of fame, which is a person who's famous because he's unusually righteous, because he's more knowledgeable, because he's more proficient, because he's accomplished more than everybody else. Those type of people, that's the fame that Avraham Avinu wanted. But that kind of fame, says the Meshech Chochma, is not accomplished by roaming the world. If you want to be famous of the first kind, of the first genre, you know, because you're flamboyant and because you're eccentric and because you're charismatic, so then you got to go on tour. As many places you can get gigs, and, you know, great. But Avraham Avinu wanted to be famous for his accomplishments. That you don't get by going on tour. That you get by staying in one place. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu promised him, even though you're traveling from place to place, Agad lo shemecha, you'll become famous, the fame not of charismatic, flamboyant, unusual people, the fame of people who are accomplished, who are significant, and righteous individuals. But how are we supposed to know? How do we know when a guy's famous? Is he famous because he's charismatic and because he's flamboyant, or is he famous because he's unusually accomplished and scholarly? So Meshech Chochma says, an unbelievable var. He says, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Boy, by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Boy, that Moshe Rabbeinu was, Gam ha'ish Moshe, gadol ma'od, be'enei Mitzrayim, be'enei avdei Faro, u'be'enei ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu was very great in the eyes of Mitzrayim, in the eyes of the servants of Paro, and in the eyes of the nation. So Meshech Chochma says, asks, the eyes of the nation, that was Klal Yisrael. Why do they come after Avdei Paro? Moshe Rabbeinu was famous in the eyes of Mitzrayim, in the eyes of Avdei Paro, and in the eyes of the Am. So Meshech Chochma says like this. He says, because if the Be'nei Ha'am, he was famous, so a person who's famous, Be'nei Ha'am, people know him, that could be because he's eccentric, because he's charismatic. Then a person's fame begins with the Hamoinam, and then it makes its way to the Talmid HaChacham, and then it makes its way to the Avdei Paro, to the people in significant positions of leadership. But it starts grassroots. You go on tour, and you make a name for yourself, and then people, because Leves HaMedrash, hear about you. That's one. That was not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was first famous by Avdei Paroi. If a person is famous amongst people who know things in the Beis Medrash, then that fame spreads to Be'nei Ha'am. because the people in positions of leadership tell the Bnei Ha'am, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. You should, you know, listen to him. Then such a person is an accomplished individual. He's not just famous because he's charismatic and travels around. So Meshech Chachma says, if his fame begins Ba'avdei Paro, with people of significance and people of leadership, and then it spreads to Bnei Ha'am, oh, then you know such a person is a person of accomplishment. But if it begins Bnei Ha'am, it begins because he's made some sort of YouTube campaign, or because he travels around a lot, and then people begin to hear about him in positions of leadership. So that's that. And you probably assume that it's a flash ban. That's something that's just a guy who's charismatic. So that's an important insight, and we could apply it to many things in our world as well, especially in the terms of the area of psychology. But getting back to the issue at hand, and that is, why is it? So we said, Tarsha Ba'al-Pah to be communicated Ba'al-Pah, Tarsha Bechsav is to be communicated Bechsav. And Rabbi Shalvetcher claims after the point in history when they began, stopped communicating Tarsha Ba'al-Pah, it now became Bechsav, we're now on a lower Madrega, we're not even in the same league as the period of the Gemara, and therefore we have no right anybody to disagree with them, we're fundamentally, objectively, in a different league than them. We're in different leagues than many people, but we're objectively in a different league than the people in times of the Gemara. Because they learn Torah in the ideal fashion, we are learning it in not the ideal fashion. But why is it that the Torah Shabbat Peh should be communicated about Peh? Why is that the ideal fashion of communicating the Torah Shabbat Peh? So Beis Halevi explains in his drushes and drush Yudches, I hope you got a chance to see it, an unbelievable yusayd. And that is that he knows based on the Midrashim, and it's only he could put it all together in a tapestry that he weaves, that when the first set of Luchos was given, it contained both the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. And Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he witnessed the Chet HaEgel. So one Medrash says, which he quotes, that the letters started flying away. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu dropped the Luchos. He didn't smash them. It's actually a Machlekes in Midrashim, that he doesn't point out. Some Midrashim say he threw them down. The Beis Halevi quotes Midrashim that he didn't smash them. He dropped them because it got too heavy. Because the letters of the Luchos were Mizeh Mizehim Ksubim, they were written through and through hollow. And therefore, if the letters started flying away, what took their place was solid stone. So the Luchos, there were one, weight, which Moshe Rabbeinu could carry when they were hollow through and through. But when now it all became full of stone, it became so heavy, Moshe Rabbeinu dropped it. Why were the letters flying away? What letters were flying away? Says the Beis Halevi, what was flying away was the letters of the Torah Shebaal Peh. On the first set of Luchos was both the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. However, when Moshe Rabbeinu witnessed the Chet HaEgel, the letters of the Torah Shebaal Peh began to fly away, and all that was left on the Luchos was the Torah Shebichtav. And on the second set of Luchos, all we have is the Torah Shebichtav. We don't have the Torah Shebaal Peh. The second set of Luchos, now the Torah Shebaal Peh is Baal Peh. What changed? Why in the first set of Luchos was a Bichsav, on the second set of Luchos was had to be Torah Shebaal Peh? And the Beis Halevi continues. And he quotes me Gemara Mesechtas Erevin. The Gemara says in Mesechtas Erevin over here, that were it not for the fact that Klai Yisrael sinned with the Chet HaEgel, they never would have had to go into Golus. As the Pasuk says, Charas al HaLuchos. It was engraved upon the Luchos, that Umo Egon Nishtab HaLuchos, HaRishonos Lo Nishtach HaTorim Yisrael, had the Luchos not been broken, Torah never would have been forgotten, because it all would have been written down. Rav Yaakov Bar Yaakov Amar, Ein Ko Uma V'Loshen Sholetes Bohen. They never would have had to go into Golus and been under the rulership of other nations. Shenema Charus Al Tikri Charus Al Echerus. They would have been free men. After the time of the Chet HaEgel, it was decreed that Klal Yisrael would have to go into Golus. Says the Beis Halevi, and this is his fundamental thesis, that since now we're about to go into Galus, Klal Yisrael needed a part of the Torah that was unique, that was reserved for them. And that Torah would be the Torah Shebaal Peh. Why? Because the Torah Shebichtav, Rabbi Yisrael, is found in every hotel room, Motel 6, Days Inn, whatever, throughout the country. What is unique to the Jewish people is the Torah Shebaal Peh. Look down at the Medrash Tanchuma over here in Parshas Kisisa, Ois Tes. The Medrash Tanchuma says
that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Torah to be b'chsav, b'kesh Moshe tei ha-mishnah b'chsav. Why wasn't it b'chsav? Says the Medrash of Yisrotzov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shumas Ha'olam Hasidim V'Targim Es HaTorah Aliyos Karim B'Yavonis. Everyone will have access to the Torah Shebichsav. And if we'll write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, everyone will have access to the Torah Shebaal Peh. There will be, there'll also be in every hotel room. You would think, what a takana gedayla. The answer is no. Because the Torah Shebaal Peh is supposed to be miyuchad to Klal Yisrael. That's what distinguishes us. That's what preserves us in the Golos. And reminds us of our special relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Therefore, after the Chet HaEgel, since it was decreed we'd go into Golos, we needed a part of the Torah that would be remained, you know, would be unique to us, would not be available to everybody. Therefore, the Torah Shebaal Peh was separated from the Torah Shebichsav. The Luchos became so heavy because the letters were flying away. Moshe Rabbeinu dropped them, and that Torah Shebaal Peh, that the oral Torah, is what preserves us in the Golos. Therefore, the Gemara says, Maseches Gittin, over here, Ois Dalet, Lo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu brisim Yisrael b'shvil dvarim shabal peh. Our main relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the dvarim shabal peh. Shenemar ki al pi hadvarim ha'ilah karati itcha bris v'yas Yisrael. Al pi, with the words of these words, I establish a bris with Klal Yisrael. It's the b'shvil, the Torah shabal peh. Torah shabal peh is meyuchad for us in the period of the Galus, and is reserved for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the Netziv writes, just observes, that's why the Torah Shebaal Peh began to develop when? Not in the period of Shlomo HaMelech, not in the period of David HaMelech. Where did Torah Shebaal Peh have the, you know, if we could call it, when it really expanded, the golden age of Torah Shebaal Peh was when? Galus Bavel. So the Netziv claims that is the pshat in the Pasuk. At the time of Kabbalah Satayra, where the Pasuk says, over here, O Zion, Hinei Hayakol HaShofar Holech V'Chazek Me'od. That the time of Kabbalah Satorah, there was a shofar that kept getting louder and louder. In the smoke of Har Sinai, there was a shofar that kept getting louder and louder, which of course is unusual. Most of the time sound, we're not talking about, you know, what's the property in physics that as you move away from sound, it gets lower and lower. But here, normally a person's blowing an instrument, you know, he runs out of breath. Here, the shofar kept getting louder and louder, which is unusual. That was an ace. So the Netziv explains, what was the purpose of that ace? Meshuna midera kol ha-shofar. It's different than a normal shofar because this represents Torah Shebaal Peh. As we move further and further away from our Sinai, you would think Torah would be waning, and in fact, is getting stronger. Which Torah? Torah Shebaal Sav, that's static. It's the Torah Shebaal Peh. That keeps expanding and keeps getting stronger. It says in Netziv, al derech hadrush, in the midst of the smoke of the galus, the confusion of galus, the kol of the shofar of Torah keeps getting stronger. And that refers to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Says the Beis Halevi, why? Because Torah Shebaal Peh is meyuchad for Klal Yisrael, to reserve for us for the period of the Golos, to remind us of our special relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is why, Rabbeisai, at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, the Pasuk says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu forced Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah. Vayisyatzu b'tachta sahar. They stood at the base of the mountain. The Gemara says, Malamed shekuf aleim har kegiges. Kadosh Baruch Hu picked up Har Sinai over their head. And he gave them an ultimatum: if you accept Torah, great. If not, you'll be buried underneath the mountain. So Taisus asked already, why did they have to be forced? They said, Nasa v'nishma, we'll do and we'll hear. We didn't even know what it says, we'll accept it. So Taisus has one answer. But all the Achronim quote by Medrash Tanchum over here, Oizvav, there's a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, that they accepted. Torah Shebaal Peh, ooh, that they didn't want. And Kadosh Baruch Hu had to force them to accept it.
Why?
Why didn't they want Torah Shebaal Peh?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, because it's difficult. If I were giving a modern interpretation, I would say it's because that's the rabbis. And that's not even so modern. There were always those who rejected Torah Shebaal Peh, the Tztukim, the Karoim. Always those who preferred the Torah Shebaal Sav, that's the word of Hashem. This is a made-up law. I don't want this if I were giving a modern interpretation.
I'm confused how they would get the Torah Shebaal Peh, like referring to like Gemara and all that, because all the rabbis didn't exist yet. So.
But they got the principles and the basic system. According to the Rambam, the Torah Shebaal Peh keeps expanding as we apply the principles further and further, but they got the basic system. They don't want the system. I mean, the Gemara also says, Kol Masha Talmud Vosek Osel L'Chadesh was already revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, but that means the potential for the system to develop. So, Why did they want the Torah Shebaal Peh? If I were giving a modern interpretation, that's what I would have said. The rabbis.
Right.
I don't think that's the pshat. Chas v'shalom. What's the pshat? The pshat is they didn't want it because why do we need Torah Shebaal Peh? Because we've got to go into Golos. They said, we don't want to go into Golos. We don't want this Torah Shebaal Peh for this Miuchah for Golos. We don't want to go into Golos. And Kadosh Baruch Hu forced them to accept it. I mean, you got to go into Golos and you're going to need this while you're there. And therefore, what does the Gemara say? When did we re-accept the Torah Shebaal Peh Baratzon? The Gemara comments in the Pasuk Megillah. Esther, Kiyamu, V'kiblu HaYehudim. That's what we hear in the Gemara in Shabbos. Kiyamu, you fulfilled, and then you accept. The Gemara says, you usually accept, then you fulfill. Kiblu V'kiyamu. Why does it say in the Megillah, Esther, Kiyamu, V'kiblu? Kiyamu, Masha, Kiblu, Kfar. They fulfilled that which they already accepted, which was the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now they accepted it Baratzon. Why they accepted it at the time of the Megillas Esther Baratzon? Why they accept Torah Shebaal Peh now? The answer is because now they're in the Golos. They see, ooh, we need this. We're in the Golos. We're going to be lost. Now we need the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now they accepted it Baratzon. Okay? So Rabbi say, if that's the reason why the Torah Shebaal Peh has to be communicated orally, because if it'll be written down, it'll be available to everybody. And therefore, it has to be communicated orally to remind us that it's unique to us. Our Moshe Soloveitchik told us that when it's written down, we objectively have decreased our level of understanding of the Torah, and now we can no longer disagree with previous generations. So I would humbly suggest the following thing. What has occurred in our times, Rabbi Isai? The Torah Shebaal Peh has been written down. That we know about. That's not current events. What is current events? Not only has it been written down, it's available to everybody. You're probably already too young to remember when the article was first published. I mean, it was, first of all, it wasn't the first translation, but that's for another time. Why was the article accepted and none of the other translations were embraced by the Torah world? Fine. But there was a standing order from the Vatican for every volume as it came out that they should have. And at our Sfarim sale, I remember seeing many, many... Not me, Anshe Shlomenu, purchasing volumes of the Schottenstein Talmud. This is available to everybody now. Safari, everybody's got this. I don't think it's in every Motel 6, but it's certainly in every library, in every of house of worship of other religions. It's available to everybody. So what allowed them to do this? Why was this accepted? There were many translations before this that were not embraced by the Torah world. We don't have to name names. But
writing down like the translation.
Translating it for many reasons. And there are many reasons why they were opposed to it, because you're either going to admit there were, you know, the propensity for mistranslations. You're limiting it to one pshat. Maybe there's Rashi and Tosfos. Who are you going to choose? Ramesha writes in the Gros Meisha, because you're inevitably going to make mistakes. That's why Arsko tried to mitigate that by putting footnotes to satisfy them, because now I have all the pshat in there, I'm not limiting it to one pshat. But the real answer is, where Eliyashiv writes in his Askama to the article Shas, look over here, Ois Yud. And it's funny that they publish this on the first page. You would think this would be like a glowing endorsement. That's not what he says. He says, Hova anu chayim bedor parutz. L'chol mini targumim shayinim, there already are translations, shakale adas, which aren't being done by those who are qualified to do so. Haposhin yadam b'kedusha satam v'torah shebaal peh l'chein l'dati ein l'cha eis lasos l'Hashem gadol mizeh. We have to do this, because otherwise they're doing it and they're doing a poor job. U'mitzvah gadol l'hamshech b'mifal zeh. It's a mitzvah to continue with it. And I'll tell you, from my own personal observation and experience, art school changed the world. Every, you know, balabas now can do daf yomi, which was not the case before art school. Not the case. If you didn't learn yeshiva, you couldn't learn a Gemara. Now everybody can learn Gemara. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's a revolution. Changed the Torah world without a doubt. But what does Rabbi Yashiv say? Quotes the Pasuk again. Eis lasos Hashem heferu sarasecha. That we have, time has come, that we have to do something on behalf of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have negated the principle of the Torah. So if you would ask me what I think he's saying is, that this is the same kind of transition as when Torah was oral to being written down. That was a violation of earlier principles, but we did it in order to accomplish something great. So too now, we have to translate it. Why does he equate that with writing down the oral Torah? The answer is because the whole reason the oral Torah should remain oral, because it's unique to us, That got watered down a little bit when it was written down. Now that it's being translated, it's even getting watered down further, and it's no longer unique to us. You hear what I'm saying? So I would humbly suggest the following. I don't know if this, where we can apply Ramesh Talvezik this far, but what I would say is that now perhaps those who live in the art scroll generation are like those who lived after the period of the Gemara. Maybe we can no longer disagree with the generations of people, you know, when they were learning Torah in a way that was reserved for the Torah Shabbat Peh, which was when it was reserved for the Jewish people. Now it's available to everybody. So maybe now there's been another cusp, another drop-off. And we can't disagree with those of the previous generations. I don't know. It should be the same principle as Ramesh Soloveitchik. Okay, Rabbi, next time we'll go on. Let's say something. Parsha Lior.